Hello there. Welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Swanik Jacomark. I started Pathfinder 101 with the intention of examining various professions beyond the basics by interacting with experienced professionals from various careers. This vlog and podcast are from a high schooler's point of view. I hope you benefit from some of the information provided in the various blog posts and interviews. Management consulting is a service offered to companies to help improve their performance or move them toward any organizational objectives. Unlike financial consulting, management consulting is broader and includes pretty much every aspect of a business. Today's interview will be with Mr. Peter McKinsey, Managing Director in the Business Transformation Practice at FTI Consulting. He's previously worked at IBM, Alorica, Dell, and EDS. We will be discussing why Mr. McKinsey chose to join the business development field and his journey to his current role at FTI. Thank you, Mr. Kinsey, for taking time out of your busy schedule for this interview. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Savannah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I would like to take you back to your high school or college days when you're thinking about your future career. I'm assuming that you're probably in a similar situation like me with a bit of confusion and uncertainty in choosing the right path. And after a few years, you have a successful career today. I'm sure you learned a lot during this journey. So we're just trying to garner that information and compile that sort of in like a blog format. So the first question I have here is, what did you want to become when you were a high school student? And what different factors made you consider that particular career at that time?
Oh my gosh, I don't think I knew. I think I wanted to be a sports reporter. I think too many people get set in their ways, if you will, trying to say, well, I want to be this. It's not actually the career path that's meant for you. You learn a hell of a lot during your high school years, but you learn even more during college. You may have a good idea what you want to be, and it may be 180 degrees different once you graduate from college. So with me, I didn't know what I wanted. I thought I wanted to be in oil and gas business. And then there was no oil and gas business when I got out of school. The price of oil was $2, $5, $6, and there was just no opportunity. So I quickly pivoted, and I literally didn't know what I wanted. I knew that I wanted to my personal skills, my relationship building skills. So right out of college, I worked on a political. And then when that came to an abrupt end, I went back to graduate school because I literally did not want to. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And yet, a lot of my friends had gotten out of school and had gotten right into the real estate business and were killing it. And as I always said, a lot of those guys couldn't spell cat if you gave them a C and a T, but we're making so much money hand over fist. But it goes in cycles. So I think you got to be flexible. I think St. Mark's does a great job in preparing you for your next stage in life. One thing I wish they'd do more of is provide more business-oriented classes, accounting. You know, they do the prep work with statistics and a lot of other things, but accounting and economics, I think, are huge building bricks for the foundation, whether you want to go into medicine or go into law or go into business. So I don't know if I answered your question. I rambled a little bit, but at the end of the day, I didn't know what. If you would have told me when I got out of St. Mark's that I was going to be in consulting, I would have looked at you like you had five heads.
What were the different factors you considered in choosing your college?
Well, thought about playing football, but I was, at the end of the day, I was probably too small. And so I looked at a lot of the Austin Colleges, Trinities, the Southwesterns, the Rhodes of the world. And then I realized I didn't want to do that. Then it came down literally between SMU and Texas. SMU was a little bit too close to home, and I had a lot of friends going to Texas. And my older sister was in Texas, and my mom had gone to Texas, albeit my dad had gone to A&M. So I decided literally on... Back in the day, we used to have something called Senior Follies. And I don't know if you're aware, but Senior Follies was a series of skits that the senior class put on. Mr. Connolly came up with the idea for the whole school. It was a spoof. And during Senior Follies, there's a song called Khalid. And whenever you name the school, raise your hand and say, that's where you're going to go. And I decided I was going to go to University of Texas literally that night. I'd been down there to visit a bunch, and I really liked it. So,
could you talk a little bit about your journey? You said you like joined a political campaign and then went back to graduate school. Could you talk about after graduate school to where you are currently?
Sure. I kind of fell in. After graduate school, I was doing an internship, and I ended up becoming a full-time job. and or during graduate school, it became a full-time job, and it was in the real estate business, but it was more entrepreneurial. And I was working with for two very entrepreneurial individuals. And when we got into business, when I started working for them, everybody was flying high in the recessions, much like it is right now. Hopefully not. And I was their, for lack of a better term, their gopher. I leased their properties, et cetera. And a Dallas-based company of the parent of 7-Eleven at the time was a big Dallas-based conglomerate called Southland. And they announced they were going to go private in the spring of 87. And we thought from a real estate component, there would be a heck of an opportunity to go do a bunch of sale leasebacks with 7-Eleven, good credit, long-term property. And as we continue to get into the business, looking at their businesses, we realized they were selling off a lot of their assets. They were selling off their dairy business. They were selling off their ice company. And we kind of fell in love and enamored with their ice company, which is called Reddy Ice, R-E-D-D-Y. You see their tins out in front of every 7-Eleven or in every 7-Eleven. And in May of 1988, we bought the two guys I work with and work for, we bought the Reddy Ice in a leveraged buyout. And by hook or crook, we were lucky. It was we had really good lawyers. We had some tax benefits that we could apply to the transaction that none of the other entities we were competing with could do. Some tax loss carryforwards that allowed us not to pay income tax for 10 years, the first 10 years of the company. And so, Mike, let me ask you a question. When's a good time to buy an ice cream?
Probably like time of year or like?
Time of year.
Like right before the summer, I guess?
Bingo. We closed middle of May of 1988 and immediately started paying down debt. So we were way ahead of our debt covenant. And that was a hot, hot summer. So we kind of fell into it and got real lucky. Then we realized that some of the other pursuers of the entity were also pursuing Reddy Ice because they wanted Reddy Ice management. So having that management team that knew the business, knew all the players, we had an entree to other opportunities that we could bolt on to. So from the real estate business to doing a leveraged buyout is a far cry from things, but it kind of led us into the investment side of it. And we had some opportunities to then grow those business primarily in the food business, but we acquired another fragmented ice company back in 1987-88 to manufacture and bag and deliver a bag of ice. To manufacture it, package it, and deliver it was 38 cents, and they sold it for $2. And back then it was about $1.19. So you can do the math there. You're a smart kid. It's a pretty good margin. And we bought the business. So I was lucky with some timing. I learned a lot of good lessons. And we were entrepreneurial. We always liked to go after and look for opportunities. And we surrounded ourselves. And I've always been surrounding myself with really smart people because you can learn something from them. And you can also, you learn what you're good at. You learn what you're not. I think that's really important.
So today, what does a typical day or week look like for you? And what is your favorite aspect of your work? And what do you like?
No week is typical. Pre-COVID, I was probably traveling 2 or 3 days a week, calling on people. I work for a Fortune 850 consulting company called FTI Consulting. Started in 1982. We have five foundational tenets of the business. We have a strategic communications business. We have a forensic litigation business. We have a technology business. We have an economic consulting business. And then we have a corporate finance business and restructuring business, which is where I am. And I lead our business development efforts for our corporate finance and restructuring line of business. And there may be a handful of business development guys in the whole company. And I'm one of them, a senior guy here in Dallas. So what I'm doing are constantly calling on private equity, energy companies, taking advantage of relationships that I've built through a 35-year business career where, you can always get in to see somebody once just to have a visit, but you got to have something, a nugget of information that they need to get in to see them twice. So I'm always looking for creative ideas to take to, whether it's a utility company or an energy company or a power company or a private equity sponsor, on how FTI can assist them with their business. You also have to know a little bit about their business. Always make sure that when I'm calling someone, I'm prepared. I've read their 10K or 10. I've read the employment contracts of their senior executives. I've done the research on what they've done over the course of the last, couple months, couple of years. You've got to be prepared. And I think St. Mark's does a good job in preparing students to be prepared. So my weeks are atypical. Now that we're trying to hopefully come out of COVID, knock on wood, I'm traveling a little bit more, although I was here last week because of graduation, and I'm here this week because it's a short week. I'll be traveling through the early part of July, and then basically, as you know, things in the summer get pretty slow from, mid-July to mid-August, and, then it'll pick back up. So did I answer your question?
Yes. The second piece was, what is your favorite part of your work, and what do you like?
My favorite part is, I'm a people person, so I like solving puzzles, solving problems, and making sure I surround myself with the right team to solve one of our targets issues. And on the contrary to that is making sure that if we can't solve their problem or their issue, we're getting the heck out of the way so they can go. We're advising them on who to go talk to. Being a, I don't know if you ever seen the movie The Godfather. You got to have a good consigliere, a good advisor, a good honest broker. And we pride ourselves on the truth.
If you could go back in time, would you change anything? Would you take a different path, or would you still continue down this path that you have?
Oh, hell yes. You always look back and regret, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? But no, I've had one heck of a career. I've traveled the world. When I left, my guys I was working with and went to work in the George Herbert Walker Bush administration, 41 as a political appointee, and it opened my eyes. I traveled all over the world, from Russia to China to Papua New Guinea to Argentina to places you never even heard of. So with that regard, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a heck of a...
For a consulting job, you're talking about how relationship building, people skills or something that you especially excelled in, and you wanted to continue that in your job. What other skills prove useful, such as you mentioned being prepared or being able to solve puzzles? What other skills are really useful?
You got to understand the numbers. You got to in consulting, you got to be quick on your feet. Public speaking is important, being able to present. But one of the most important things is being able to read a balance sheet and understand the economics behind a company and what their ultimate goal is. And it all starts with understanding their finances. So even in the medical profession, you're doing an internship at UT Southwestern this summer, their finance behind that intern. So I would tell any young person that make sure you understand the accounting aspect of the business.
And how important of a role does networking play in your career?
Yeah, huge. Either you have the ability to network or you don't have the ability. Either it's, so it just comes natural to me. I think it's a very, very important.
And what are some habits that you cultivate to keep up with networking?
Stay in touch. Thank you notes. Follow up. When you say you're going to do something, do it and do it promptly. When someone asks you your opinion on something and you give it to them, follow up with a note or an email or, some nugget of information that can help solidify what you were talking about. A congratulatory note, you see they had a baby, got married, had a baby, won a golf tournament, closed a deal, what have you. Networking just comes natural. I guess it comes natural. And also, one thing I mentioned, you also need to learn how to listen. People don't listen these days. They're fiddling with their phone. Y'all text and Snapchat and Instagram a lot. Learn how to write. Learn how to write. Learn how to write an essay. Being able to communicate without these things is very, very important. So it's my life lesson.
On the topic of technology and social media, how has this profession changed in the last couple of decades? And what steps do you you take to sort of stay ahead of the industry?
You tell me those steps, I'll stay ahead of them. I'll use them to stay ahead. When I left the government, I ended up working for some technology, and I'm not a technologist. I just happened to be a deal guy that worked for technology company. It's amazing what's out there from that's evolved the internet, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Zoom, Microsoft Teams. This was unheard of before COVID. It's changing as we've talked. Ask the question again, and maybe I'll give you.
So it was, how has this the profession of consulting changed with technology in the last couple of decades?
Well, you know, it was unheard of that you weren't, and I'll just use the last 2.5-3 years. It's unheard of as a consultant not to be on an airplane, to be on a client side. But with COVID, nobody wanted to be on these clients. So, you know, we learned how to use Zoom and solve problems remotely, whereas before we were expected to be on at our client's office. It changed considerably.
Do you think that'll continue in the future? Like, not
to a degree. For me, it's frustrating because I like to be there. I like to be able to be in the room and read people and read their body language and learn from what they're saying. It's tough to do when you're on Zoom. I don't think we'll ever get back to the way it was before, but I think there's going to be some balance, if you will, of what's remote and what's not. It saves a heck of a lot of money and expenses because when I'm flying and traveling and eating and lodging, you know, I'm not paying for that. My client is. So there's that component of it that's changed. So I think there's going to be a fine balance. If it's an important conversation, I think you got to be able to have it in person versus over a Zoom call or a Teams.
With the field of consulting, or I'll start with another, like a counter example. So with the field of like medicine, if you want to become a doctor, there's like a very clear set path that's like 15 years or 10 years in med school, and then you become a doctor. But with the field of like business or consulting, or I was talking to someone yesterday from like the film industry, there's not really a clear set of guidelines as to like this, and you have to do this. So what are the different, like, could you briefly overview what different ways there are to sort of reach the same position in a consulting?
Well, you know, typically a lot of, you go to school, you graduate, you take 60 to 90 days off, you travel, start work. You work for 2 or 3 years, you go back to graduate school, whether it's law school, MBA school, what have you, and then you set into your career path. Is that set in stone? No. I think it depends on the individual and what they want to be and what they want to do in the career path. A lot of investment bankers, a lot of consulting services, they require or they highly encourage you to get an MBA. If I had to do it all over again, I would have gotten a law degree because it's invaluable. It's absolutely invaluable. I don't think I ever would have practiced law, but I would have gotten that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And when high schoolers or people in college are questioned about like what they want to pursue in their future, one cliche statement that they're often met with is follow your passion. So you're talking about this a little bit earlier, I think, but how important of a role do you think passion plays in a career, for example?
I think it's very important. You don't like what you're doing. You know, I like getting up and going to the office every day because I want to be there. I'm excited to be. And if you don't have that passion to be there, to dedicate the time and the effort and to learn, you know, that's the passion that drives you to step. You know, I think goals are important. I think you've got to develop your goals. And they can be, you know, short-term, mid-term, long-term. But you got to have the passion for what you do. You got to enjoy it. You got to be able, it's got to make you get up in the morning to get to the office or go for a run.
So do you have any advice for someone who wants to become a consultant, but they're still in high school, but they're like thinking of becoming a consultant? That's the first question. And the second question is just someone in general in high school, they're not really sure about what they want to do in their future, but they have like a lot of time to explore that, obviously. But what are some key pieces of advice that you'd give them?
Broaden your horizons, go dip your toe in the water with all those things. If you had the time in the building, you got college, you got 3 months during the summer, you know, try different opportunities, try different jobs. Having a son that just graduated, having a daughter that graduated from Hockaday last year, you know, I don't know if they really know what they want to do 10 years down the road. I know they want both have said they want to be very successful, as you do, as I do. I think when you surround yourself with different experiences and throughout your early stages in life, it kind of helps you shape what you want to do further down. So, you know, ask a lot of questions, talk to a lot of people, you know, take advantage of, we're talking St. Mark's here, take advantage of the St. Mark's alumni base as you're doing right now. It's more than willing to help young Marks make their next decision. And it's amazing how strong. What was the first question again?
For someone who wants to become a consultant.
Does anyone ever want to become a consultant? You know, you got the big boy, you got Bain, you got BCG, you got McKinsey, not spelled like my last. You know, they're great companies. They provide fabulous experience, but it's not for everybody. It's long hours. It's a lot of hard work. You got to be creative. If that's the path, if that's the path you want to take, I encourage you to look at the St. Mark's or the broader community about people and go talk to them. See if it's really what you think it is. You know, it's all glamorous when you're outside, but when you peel back the onion or go through the door, it's not as always as glamorous as it's.
Thank you, Mr. McKinsey, for the valuable advice and for your time.
Have a great summer.
You too.
Thanks.
And thank you to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your valuable time with this podcast. I hope you found this useful. To get notified about future episodes, please subscribe or follow Pathfinder 101 on Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Also, please visit pathfinder101.com for more content. If the blog or podcast added some value to you, please like and share with your friends and colleagues. Thanks again for your time, and have a great rest of your day.